All right, here we go on a March Madness Sunday morning in Las Vegas. I'm Brian Feldman, and this is Out of Line. We are here live in the Fox Sports RCG Home Loans powered by Luminate Bank studio every Sunday morning at 8 on Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM, Las Vegas flagship of the Vegas Golden Knights and sister station of Raiders Nation Radio and ESPN Radio Las Vegas. The We also includes social media director Spencer the Wiz Ostrowski.
Nobody beats the Wiz.
And producer Chris Magnum Chapman, who aside from being a big part of several shows here at Lotus Broadcasting, Mags also serves as the locker room reporter for the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network. We are also streaming on the LV Sports Network, and you can watch the show on Facebook Live and Twitch. The page is called Out of Line. That's O-U-T-T-A-L-I-N-E. Follow the show on Instagram and X at Out of Line Fox LV. And since we are live, your calls and questions are welcome. The Fox Sports RCG Home Loans powered by Luminate Bank studio line is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
What's on Tap, brought to you by title sponsor RCG Home Loans powered by Luminate Bank. Whether purchasing a new home or refinancing the home you already own, RCG Home Loans powered by Luminate Bank is the company to turn to for all of your home financing needs. To get information or to get your questions answered regarding anything mortgage or real estate related, contact the pros at RCG Home Loans powered by Luminate Bank today at 702-964-5720.
It should boost our confidence. Should also show us the recipe for success for our group. Defending hard, you know, getting over top, our D down the walls in the offensive zone, trying to sustain ozone pressure and breaking the puck out. I think all that kind of ties into what makes our team successful when we're playing our best. And it was good to see us kind of establish that here throughout the homestand.
We're going to the Sweet 16, guys. I mean, and this was a team that, you know, most people didn't think we could even make it out of, D.C. last weekend or a couple weekends. I don't know how long it's been. But I'm proud of their fight. I'm proud of, just who they are.
A couple of guys that I think you recognize, of course, Jack Eichel after last night's win over the Columbus Blue Jackets, and that was followed up by Kevin Keats, the head coach at North Carolina State, after the win in overtime over the Oakland Grizzlies, the biggest Cinderella to this point in the NCAA tournament. Also on tap today, we're going to have with joining us in a little while at the bottom of the hour, the media relations director for the Las Vegas Aviators, Jim Gem, a good friend of the show. And also we are going to be hearing from UNLV fifth-year senior who has been hurt since January, but a guy that's a big part of the team, will be a big part of the team next year as he's been granted a sixth season as a redshirt, and that is Jalen Hill. And again, he'll be joining the show in a little while as well. We'll talk all about the NCAA tournament. We've got a bunch of games going on today, a bunch of teams that have already punched their ticket to the Sweet 16, and of course UNLV in the NIT tournament, and they won their first postseason tournament game since 2008 when they beat Kent State in the NCAA tournament in the first round, and first time they've won in the NIT since 2005. They actually beat USC here at the Thomas and Mack Center, but we'll talk all about that and get you again the Aviators schedule as they start their play this coming weekend against Reno. We'll fill in how you can get tickets, all the stuff going on when Jim Gemma joins the show, and looking forward to all that. That is What's on Tap. If you are looking to buy a home, refinance the home you currently own, or have any mortgage or real estate related questions, contact RCG Home Loans powered by Luminate today, Luminate Bank today at 702-964-5720. And before we jump into Nightcap, man, it has been a long week, a long couple of weeks with March Madness being here. And at the last minute, I just had to shout this out that I got a chance to go to the Bruce Springsteen concert on Friday night. And I was a little bit reluctant to go just because of the traffic, all the people. Bruce Springsteen, I know he's 74 years old. I thought, you know, I saw this guy when I was in college, and how good could he actually still be at 74? I just remember when I saw Bruce in college, college. I'll never forget. It was like a 3-hour concert. The guy never took a break, and he wore me out as an audience member. I mean, we were in the 15th row on the main floor. I'm like 23 years old. I had all the energy in the world. We're dancing. We're singing. And finally, it got to the point that you just wore out. The guy just doesn't stop. He would dip his head in a big barrel of water, come up, shake his head, grab his guitar, and start playing again. You know, a couple of things that I had forgotten or maybe not even realized. Bruce Springsteen is a hell of a guitarist. And I knew he played the guitar. I mean, I remember him playing. I didn't know how good he was in the guitar. He did a couple of solos in his show, which were really good. And you know, another thing that's kind of lost, when I think of great harmonica players, I think of like the Jay Giles Band and Magic Dick. But let me tell you something. Bruce Springsteen plays that harmonica as well as anybody out there. And it was an amazing show. I mean, the guy had just as much energy. He's 74. He could pass for 54. And I cannot believe how much I liked it. The only thing that I noticed that kind of made me laugh about the show is if you were under 40 years old, you felt uncomfortable and out of place in that show. It was truly the geriatric show. And I'm laughing. I'm like, man, by the end of the show with this guy going for 2.5 hours, we're going to start seeing EMS come running in here and grabbing people out of the audience. I mean, it was kind of humorous. Like the people next to me, no offense to them, and I didn't tell them that I was on the radio, so they can't be listening today. But the guy is like shaking and everything else. I didn't know whether he was dancing to the music or having convulsions. I wasn't sure. He was like 85 years old. I'm like, is this guy all right? And I guess he was just enjoying the show. He was smiling, but it looked like he was convulsing. But the bottom line is, man, hell of a show. T-Mobile does it right. And one of the things I don't realize, I mean, you hear it during Vegas Golden Knights game, but the acoustics in that building are absolutely phenomenal. I mean, the clarity of the music is just great. And again, just so overly impressed with the show itself and how Vegas just really makes these new state-of-the-art stadiums so technologically sound that you can just hear everything. And I don't remember any venues that were like that growing up as a kid. Like Bruce Springsteen at the Silverdome did not sound as good as Bruce Springsteen at T-Mobile Arena, and yet Bruce Springsteen was like 37 when I saw him at the Silverdome, and he's 74 now. Incredible show. Really, really cool. All right, Spence, I had to get that out because it deserved the shout-out. It was that cool. Go ahead and hit Nightcap.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
Well, the puck...
I like where we're at in that part. We want to be closer to 60 minutes, and we're getting there. We're better than we were a month ago. I think, you know, players are getting the reps a little more that we're out and probably feeling better about their games. I like even though we switched the lines, I like that we can use four lines. We're not piecing together a last line and hoping that they get it done or managing them. And going on the road 4 and 5.5 days, you can't overplay all the time or always say, well, I'm not sure on this guy. I don't know who they're putting over the boards. I'm going to start the shift, you know, because they get last change. So that's what I feel good about. Same with the D-Corp. We've used different guys and goaltending. Now we'll see on Hilly, right? Obviously, we're going to rotate. So Logan was scheduled to start Monday. We'll stay on that schedule. Hopefully, Hilly is fine, but we'll see on that part. But our overall game, I like where it's at. We're going to need it. It's a really important week here. But some teams, as you said, are right there, and you got two ahead of us. So it's going to be a lot of tight competition. We got to be at our best.
You know, I said last week, Chris, that I know you weren't on the show last week, but we were. Yeah, you actually were. We were talking about it, and I remember I said that this coming home trip, they really needed to get 6 points out of these four games, and I gave them the leeway because I knew they were playing Tampa. I know how good Kucherov is and Stamp, because these guys are so good when they're playing at their best, and you know Braden Point seems to always score against the Golden Knights. So I thought, but the other three games to me, New Jersey, the Kraken with the way they fell off the map, and of course the game last night against Columbus, I felt those three games had to be won, not even lost in overtime, but I figured cumulatively they needed 6 points. They got the 6 points. They've gained a little bit of ground. They're only a couple of points behind the LA Kings now for the third seed in the Pacific in the Pacific Division. But again, you know, just still reeling to a degree. But Then last night, I'm watching the game. The first period wasn't terrible, but they got outshot. Columbus took the early lead. The Vegas Golden Knights tied them up before the end of the period. But I will tell you what, the second period of last night's game is the best period of hockey I have seen this team play in a while, especially defensively. And that they are going to need, especially, again, you know, before Adin Hill left the game, the guy let a terrible goal in again. It bounced right off him, went over his shoulder. I watched it like four times thinking, well, the deflection, was it hard? An NHL goaltender makes that save, period. An average NHL goaltender makes that save. Those kind of pucks cannot get let in the net. But, again, Hill went out. He pulled himself, basically, in the third period, brought in Logan Thompson, who played well the rest of the way, gave up a late goal. But overall, I really like what I saw in the second half of this game, the second and third period. They had three times as many shots as Columbus, which they should against a team like the Blue Jackets. But, Chris, this bodes well going forward. Another goal by Pavel Dorofeev. I know you asked a couple guys questions about him. I love this kid. He is really an offensive, you know, now double-digit goals on the season. And I see nothing but positives for him going forward.
Yeah, I mean, Brian, as far as the homestand, look, I don't really think we found out much about this team. Defensively, they played really sound hockey. I think basically started against New Jersey and continued all through the week. The problem is they beat three teams that aren't very good on the homestand, and the one good team that they were playing on the homestand, they lost to. Now, in that game, they played really good defensive hockey, just unable to score goals. But I think we're going to find out this week who the Golden Knights are. This is, for all intents and purposes, this is the most important four-game stretch of the season for the Golden Knights. You've got St. Louis tomorrow. You've got Nashville on Tuesday. St. Louis is chasing you in the standings, only a couple points behind. And then you've got Nashville, who's ahead of you, who basically seems like they haven't lost in over a month. I think it's 17 straight games with a point for the Nashville Predators. I think they've only lost two overtime games in that stretch. So they are as hot as a team. They surpassed the Edmonton Oilers, yep, for the most games with a point this season. So those are your first two games on the homestand. Then you have the Minnesota Wild, who are also chasing you. And then you have a game against the Winnipeg Jets on this road trip as well. So I may have the order of that reversed. They may be in Winnipeg first. I generally don't look that far ahead in the schedule.
Right.
But
it's the Blues and then the Predators and then the Jets and then the Wild.
And then the Wild on Saturday.
But, I mean, you know, all
so you've got two playoff teams, yep, one fighting for the Central Division, which is the Central Division is the best division in hockey.
And two teams right on their ass.
I don't care what anyone says, it's the best division in hockey. You've got three teams in that division who could win the Stanley Cup. Yep. I think one team, the only team in that division that scares me if I'm the Golden Knights is Colorado. But
I said it last night.
But nonetheless, the other two teams, Dallas and Winnipeg, certainly capable of winning the Stanley Cup. Then you've got the fourth place team who's only got points in 17 straight games. So it's the best division in hockey. And you've got four games against that division, two of them playoff teams, and two of them right on your ass to try to take a playoff spot from you. So it's a really important stretch, and I asked Jack last night about, you know, is this going to define you? And I thought his answer was really good.
Matter of fact, Spence has that. You can hear that right now. Chris did ask Jack about, you know, about the upcoming four games and if they would define the season.
These next four games are going to define your season for you guys?
I don't think you ever want to put the, you know, title of defining a season, but we understand the importance of them, and you know, we'll be ready to play on the road.
I mean, it's a great answer. I mean, he's right. You know, and I didn't know what he was going to say when I asked the question, obviously, or I wouldn't have asked it. But, you know, I thought the response was good. Like, yeah, he's right. You know what? Maybe in that room it doesn't define who they are as a team. But I think as far as the importance of it, can't be understated that it's the most important four-game stretch of the season.
No, Chris, and I agreed with what you said. I think that that taking it as defining the team or the season, I think, you know, Jack was able to thwart it. But what you were really saying, and I totally got it, and I think he did too, but you gave him an out by saying define the season. You were saying, you know, these four games are going to define where this team is at right now.
Yes. Yep.
And how good they are right now. This is the measuring stick of where the Golden Knights are and how how they will be able to compete against playoff-laden teams. And all four of these teams, even though only two of them right now are slated to make the playoffs, you've got the St. Louis Blues and the Minnesota Wild that are right on Las Vegas's ass. And if Las Vegas stumbles and these two teams catch fire, they can surpass the Vegas Golden Knights. The Vegas Golden Knights are by no means cemented in the playoffs. And again, it's great to see their defense playing better. I mean, to me, that was the biggest area of concern other than goaltending. And, you know, we saw Aiden Hill go out yesterday. He made some nice saves again, but again, he let in a softie. And that's becoming a moniker of his, that it seems like every game, one or two goals that get past him are goals that last year in the playoffs would have never gotten by him. And again, it bodes the question, and I'm getting asked this all the time, and I'm overusing a cliche, lightning in a bottle, but did Aiden Hill catch lightning in a bottle last year? I'm sure it made him better. It builds your character to play that well. But again, he was buried on the bench in San Jose. He wasn't seeing the ice very often at all. There's a reason for that. And when you go back and you say, okay, you're not seeing the ice a great deal, you know, that says, you know, and it's not like San Jose was a juggernaut and had a goaltender that was just lights out. And then he comes to Vegas. He kind of gets in net by default because Logan Thompson has this great start to the season last year. Aiden Hill comes in to replace him and plays really, really well. He gets hurt, you know, in the postseason. They pick up Jonathan Quick, which I think really ignited Aiden Hill. Matter of fact, I think that's what made him catch the lightning in a bottle. I said that trade paid dividends almost immediately when Hill went up against Dallas and had the best game of his entire career, making 51 saves in the game. That's when, you know, Hill got lit up. It's like, oh my God, Jonathan Quick's here. I might lose my job. I've got to play better. And it's like he never looked back. And, you know, I gave him a ton of credit. I think we all did. I knew he wasn't going to win the Conn Smythe, but I don't think anyone would have really complained a great deal had he won it based on what he had to do for the Golden Knights in the postseason, coming off of an injury and playing so damn well. But he just hasn't been the same guy this year, Chris. And he's made world-class saves. But you know what? I've seen almost every goaltender that makes it to the National Hockey League make great saves at times. The key is you have to be consistent. And you can't say it's okay. I made three world-class saves. Now I'm going to let one in the five, squeeze through the five hole. That's unacceptable. It just is.
Well, I think that's, and I don't know if it's the injuries that have kind of slowed Aiden. I mean, the thing is, Aiden Hill was lights out before he got hurt. And then he came back in that game against Ottawa, and he didn't last 7 minutes. He was injured again for a period of time, came back on the New York road trip and looked really good again. Something happened post All-Star break where Aiden Hill's play dipped. And I don't think anyone knows what may be the cause. But look, Brian, the reality is, we saw Aiden Hill leave last night. We saw him leave last night's game. We don't know the extent because they are not meeting at City National. There's no morning skate. There's no practice there.
Right to the airport.
They're getting on an airplane and they're going to St. Louis. So we don't know, and we may not know whether or not Aiden is on the trip until tomorrow. This is Logan Thompson's time right now to go out and make himself, I think, the number one goalie going into the playoffs. The pressure will certainly be on, and I think Logan Thompson likes the pressure. The problem here is you look at Logan Thompson's play at home versus on the road, and Logan's going to have to step his game up on the road.
Yeah. Because this is going to be the opportunity, Chris.
Because this is for him, this is his opportunity.
Yeah, it's a 12-game stretch, and as a matter of fact,
you've got 7 of your next 8 games on the road.
Yeah, this is the biggest part of the season. Is again, might not define who this team is, but it is definitely going to define who they are right now. And after the game, Bruce Cassidy was asked about the status of Aiden Hill, and this is what he had to say.
Right now, he came to the bench and said he wasn't feeling 100%, so we made the switch. Other than that, he's getting his tests. Tough right now. Your mind is now on the game. So I won't have much. Tomorrow we're meeting at the plane. So I'm not even sure what we'll get in the morning. But Obviously, if he's not able to go, we'll have to look to Henderson and get some help there. But right now, I don't want to speculate.
Yeah, I don't want to speculate either. But, you know, for a guy to take himself off the ice, that can't be a good thing. I don't think it's as simple as a muscle cramp or something like that. We'll find out more. The good thing is you've got an adequate backup or potential number one goaltender, as Chris just said, in Logan Thompson. And he might have to go to Henderson and grab Jiří Patera again. We'll see what happens as they get on this road trip. The road trip does begin tomorrow night, it's going to be a big one. I mean, they start in St. Louis, and excuse me, it's on Tuesday in St. Louis, and then they're in Nashville. Oh, no, it is tomorrow.
Tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, they're in Nashville. Yeah.
Thursday, they're in Winnipeg, and then Saturday, they are in Minnesota before coming back to T-Mobile.
Here's the thing, right? When you go on a road trip, you want to go 500. If you're the Golden Knights and you go 500 on the road trip and the two games you win are Winnipeg and Nashville, those are probably the two wrong games to win.
Well, there's no doubt.
If you're going to go 500 on this road trip, you want to win tomorrow, and then you want to win on Saturday. Yeah. If you lose to Winnipeg and Nashville, you know what? They're ahead of you in the standings. Not that you want to lose games anyway, but if there were two games on the road trip they were going to lose.
You got to beat the teams that are nipping at your tail.
Yeah, you got to beat the two teams that are right on your butt. And, you know, it gets started tomorrow. Look, you can hear the game right here, 5 o'clock puck drop, 4 o'clock pregame. But, I mean, look, these tomorrow night, they may not tell you this. It's the biggest game of the season for the Golden Knights.
I 100% agree with you. And, you know, Jack Eichel, after the game, talking to him, Chris had asked him about the next four games. But this is what he had to say about this upcoming stretch and the opportunity that they have.
Yeah. Like you said, we should be real excited about this opportunity here. Obviously, teams that we're tight with in the standings. So every point's going to matter. You know, we just got to take it game at a time. You know, period, shift at a time. It's you know, it's a long road trip, but you know, when you dumb it down to what you need to do, it's you know, our first period in St. Louis, come out, you know, have a good start, and you know, try and go from there.
And they do need a good start. You really got to start the game off big. And I think, you know, Logan Thompson, you almost want him to get tested right away and make a big save to get the magnitude of this game. But these four games, no question, man, they are a measuring stick to what we're going to see going forward. And to me, whether the Golden Knights make the postseason and even how well they'll do, because this is a great test against all four of these teams are decent teams in the National Hockey League this season. And all four of them have potential to be playoffs, two of them for sure and two others still could potentially get in. We'll see what happens going forward. I want to switch over to the NCAA tournament and March Madness. You know, just all kinds of things going on. Some great upsets, as you heard. You know, you heard at the very top of the show when you heard from NC State coach Kevin Keats. What a great game. Oakland University, one of the greatest stories ever. And I want to say one thing to start this. I was talking to Spencer, actually, on the way in. And, Spence, you looked it up. I am astonished. And I said, you know, Greg Campy is probably one of the least talked about best coaches in America. Coaching at Oakland, he made the transition from D2 to D1. Now they've been in the tournament a couple times, their first ever tournament win over Kentucky, who on my grid I had losing in the national championship game. I know a lot of people probably had them going far. It seemed like Calipari finally got them playing together towards the end of the season, and I thought, you know, they were due to make a run. They've been playing bad the last couple years in the NCAA tournament. I thought this was going to be a year Kentucky makes one of their runs, because it is every couple years Kentucky makes a run. I was wrong, and I thought with Oakland beating Kentucky, they got a break with NC State winning and getting in. But NC State, man, winning the CC tournament is tough. They've won 7 games in 12 days. That is absolutely unbelievable. After they lost the last 4 games of the regular season going into the ACC tournament, they end up winning it. And this is kind of the run they had back in 1983 when they were the Cardiac Pack, and Jimmy Valvano took them to one of the big, greatest Cinderella stories in NCAA tournament history. This NC State team, do not sleep on them. Trust me, I think Marquette is going to win today, and they are going to be really, really tough. The road is really open for them to get to the Elite Eight now. But if they look past NC State, and NC State's got a guy in the middle that is as good as anybody in the country, do not look past the Wolfpack, but hats off to Greg Campy and the Oakland Grizzlies. But the big problem I had driving in was finding out that Greg Campy makes less money than any of the assistant coaches on the Kentucky Wildcats team. Less money than the assistants. It's Spence, what was his salary again? $320,000 a year?
Yeah, something like that. It was like $327,000, I think.
I mean, that is ridiculous. Chris and I talked a little bit before this. Chris says, you know, some people are just cut like that. That's the mold they're cut out of. And I understand that. But I know this guy has been offered Power 5 Conference D1 jobs. Heck, I can't imagine that Michigan didn't recently talk to him with Juwan Howard. You know, I don't know whether they did. There's nothing saying they did. Maybe they didn't because it's a waste of time. Maybe he's made it clear. I mean, he took the job at Oakland University in 1984, 40 years ago. That is unbelievable to stay with a program that long. They had tremendous success at the D2 level. They've had great success in the conference they're in now. They won it this year. Golkey, one of the coolest stories of the NCAA tournament this year, may turn out to be the coolest story. The guy is just an absolute perimeter shooter. Like, they want him shooting from the perimeter like you want most guards shooting layups. I mean, they want him shooting from the outside. That is his layup. You know, when he's at the free throw line, he's usually shooting three free throws because he gets fouled from behind the arc. This kid is so much fun to watch. This team was so much fun to watch. And I'll tell you what, that kid Townsend on the inside, I have never seen, when they talk about a kid playing bigger than he is, that kid Townsend was dominating inside at times during that game. And he was like, he would have been the third tallest player on NC State's team. And yet he was somehow getting to the glass. Another double-double for this kid. Had, I think, 28 points in the game. Unbelievable. Oakland did all they could. 66-66 at the end of regulation. They just couldn't close the deal. And it got away from them in the overtime. But hats off to them. And I'll tell you what, again, do not sleep on NC State. And Campy, please, Greg, talk to your school. I don't care if you had 20% incentives. Get more money. They're a D1 conference. They're in a D1 conference now. They're playing in the dance. They won their first game. They've got to step up. This guy could make $1 million at several other universities around the country.
The guy's 70 years old.
So what? Go make a couple million for the next 5 years.
He's not leaving.
No, I know he's not, but...
I think...
But Chris, he could have left 10 years ago.
Well, I mean, like I said, maybe he's happy. You know, happiness is important. And
I, you know what? Happiness is also stupidity.
By the way, did you know that he was a college football player?
No, you know what?
At Bowling Green?
I did not know that. That's
he played football and basketball at Bowling Green, so two sports star.
Well, I will tell you this. Like I said, I give the guy all the credit. I think he is a tremendous basketball coach. I said at the top that this guy is one of the most untalked about best coaches in the country. He really is. And happy to me is stupidity. I am sorry. You can't be happy when you know you can make much more money. It's not about greed. It's about your value. And on top of that, setting up your family. I mean, the more money you make, you're 70 years old, leave them a legacy, and you are. But I'm flabbergasted when I heard that. I cannot believe that's all he makes. Quickly around the rest of it, it has been a really good tournament to this point. We've seen some great underdogs coming through here. I've really, really enjoyed it. Today, just real quickly recapping what you've got going on today. Marquette's going to play Colorado, a 2-10 seed. You've got Purdue and Utah State, one of only two Mountain West teams out of the six left in the tournament. Of course, San Diego State also plays today. It'll be the last game of the night. They're taking on Yale, who won the Ivy League Conference Championship in the tournament. Princeton actually won the Ivy League. And don't forget, guys, Princeton made it to the Sweet 16 last year. We'll talk more about that with Jalen Hill when we get him on the phone or on video in a little bit. But also today, you got Duke playing James Madison, Baylor and Clemson, Alabama going up against Grand Canyon, probably the biggest Cinderella left in the tournament at this point in time. UConn, still the odds-on favorite to win the tournament, playing against a Northwestern team that's playing really hard without two of their best players. Houston, another team that could definitely win this thing. They got smashed by T.J. Otzelberger and Iowa State in the Big 12 championship game. But let me tell you right now, this Houston team can beat anybody, and they can beat them soundly. Texas A&M, Houston should be a good game. And, of course, again, San Diego State and Yale wrap things up. And speaking of that, Iowa State, man, I'll tell you what, T.J. Otzelberger, you got to give the guy credit. Like him, hate him, he's got this team playing really at a high level. And you know, I don't think it would be completely far-fetched to say that Iowa State makes it to the Final Four. And are they a team that compete for a national championship? Look at them, man. They smashed Houston in the SEC championship game. Yeah, or excuse me, in the Big 12 championship game. Yeah, they could do it. So do not be the least bit surprised if Houston goes a long way. It'll be fun. Action starts soon, going on all day today. Other than my grandson's birthday and UNLV playing tonight, man, I am going to be locked in like there is no tomorrow. Speaking of locked in, we got Jim Gemma locked in right now, the media relations director of the Las Vegas Aviators and, of course, the AAA franchise of the Oakland A's, who will eventually be the Las Vegas A's. Jimmy, appreciate you taking the time this morning, and we're looking forward to you moving the goalposts.
Brian, thanks for having me on today. I know with everything else going on, I will try to move the goalposts as the Aviators and the Pacific Coast League season actually opens up this Friday, March 29th.
Jimmy, talk to me real quickly. The season, what number one, people, there's still tickets available. How you can go about getting game tickets, season tickets, and some of the promotions going on down there at the Las Vegas ballpark this summer.
Yeah, you know, not trying to be funny or sarcastic, but with all going on with the other situation, yes, the Aviators are still here. And we're going to be playing our 41st season here in Las Vegas. Best thing to do is go to aviatorslv.com. That's really a great central place to buy tickets, see what's going on with the ball club. Again, the Pacific Coast League will start with a three-game series, all teams, the 29th, 30th, 31. Aviators will be playing Reno Aces. Obviously, they're the AAA affiliate. The Arizona Diamondbacks had a great year last year. But we'll have a three-game series. Friday night, the 29th, Saturday, the 30th at 7:05, then Sunday at noon. And then what they'll do is have an off day on April 1st, and then we'll start in our traditional six-game series. The team will go to Sugar Land, but from there on out, all the series will be Tuesday through Sundays with an off day on Monday. But, yeah, the best thing to do is go to aviatorslv.com.
You know, Jimmy, and you mentioned you guys are still here. Yeah, you are. You also play at one of the best ballparks, the minor league ballparks in the country, if not the world. I mean, this Las Vegas ballpark, if you haven't been down there, I tell people all the time, it is one of the greatest summer nights you have, and especially when they have a firework night, their dollar beer nights. They're always doing something down there. And again, it is a miniaturized version of a major league ballpark. The biggest issue people keep asking me, Jim, is it a possibility of the A's playing at the Las Vegas ballpark for a season? And the only reason I say it's not is because it would be, if by any chance the A's got much better and played in the postseason, it would be accommodating the postseason away team's fans would probably be the problem of having a 10,000-seat stadium.
Well, that, and you have the, real brief, the regional sports network cable, the A's have a deal with NBC Comcast California, which is $65 million a year. So that's a big issue right now that they're trying to work out, extending the lease at the Coliseum. So we'll see how this all plays out. And like you said, down the line, you know, there's 81 dates for MLB home games or 75 dates for PCL. So in theory, you'd have 156 dates. I just don't see how that plays out in one venue. Playing full schedules, that is.
Yeah, it would be very tough, but you know, I think there's room for both. And again, there it really is. It's one of my favorite nights in the summer, going down to an Aviators game. I love it. It's beautiful down there. There's not a bad seat in the entire stadium. And again, you feel like you're at a major league game because it is so nice and so well kept. And again, if you go down there, I think in the concourse, Jimmy, you still have the rendering of what the ballpark is going to look like, the major league park, once they build the stadium for the Las Vegas A's at that Tropicana site.
Yeah, in the lower bowl, they have that available for big league weekend. I assume, you know, that's an Oakland Athletics decision. I assume those various things will be around here and there. But yeah, like you said, the Las Vegas ballpark, the lower bowl is basically a major league ballpark. And again, we always like the tout. We're the only professional sports team in town that has free parking. The price point will always be really affordable for fans. That's the ambiance of minor league baseball, then that's never going to change going forward.
Yeah, and not only that, you get done with the ballpark, you can walk right across just some of the best eateries and shops in town. There's so much to do around the ballpark as well, and of course, it's right next to City National Arena as well. Jim Gemma, Media Relations Director for the Las Vegas Aviators, always appreciate you taking time out in the morning to join the show, Jim.
Brian, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate you thinking of us as, yeah, our season is starting this Friday. Actually, the team arrives today from spring training in Arizona, so the guys will be getting in here sometime today.
Looking forward to it, and I'll be out there this weekend. As always, again, Jim Gemma, appreciate him joining the show. We're moving right forward, and go ahead, Spencer, hit fact this.
Fact this. If you don't like the facts, take your ass back to bed. Fact this.
Fact this is brought to you by Lifelike Hair Center of Las Vegas. If you are experiencing hair loss or thinning hair and want to learn about the best non-surgical options available, call 702-737-5759 or go to lifelikehair.com and schedule your free consultation today. It is a fact. The UNLV men's basketball team had not played in a postseason tournament in 11 years and had not won a postseason tournament game since the 2008 NCAAs. This all changed last Tuesday night when the Runnin' Rebels went on the road and beat the Ivy League regular season champion Princeton Tigers 84-77 in the first round of the 2024 NIT. The same Princeton team almost that went to the Sweet 16 last season in the NCAA tournament. Joining the show right now is fifth-year senior transfer and Las Vegas native Jalen Hill, who has been out with a torn ACL since early January. Jalen, appreciate you taking time out to join the show.
Thank you, man.
Hey, I know it's got to be tough watching these games and rehabbing. The cool thing is I heard you were granted a sixth season as a redshirt, so you get to be part of this next year. I know UNLV is missing you right now, but I'm sure Coach Kruger's happy that, because had you played this season, you wouldn't be around next season. So it helps to rebuild this team because you're losing some integral parts of this team after this season. But I say after this season because you guys are still playing ball. What is the mindset right now, and how happy are all of you guys that you got this opportunity and you seized the moment and you went and beat a Princeton team that people said if they made the NCAA tournament, they had the ability to make the Sweet 16 again. So what does that say about this UNLV Runnin' Rebels team?
I think it says a lot. I mean, we believe that towards the end of the year, we were playing some of the best basketball in the whole country. But we believe that we should have made the tournament if it wasn't for a slow start to the regular season. But we're very, very proud to represent the name on the front of our chest and represent Vegas. We want to keep winning. That's the goal. We play a very good Boston College team later at 6:30, and we're excited to go win that game to go back to Jersey and play Seton Hall.
And Seton Hall is awaiting the winner of this game. You guys win this game, you are in the Elite Eight of the NIT tournament. Considering the beginning of the year, that start, you were part of the team playing against Southern. Yep. I say that game is a wash. It was your first game. You got an 18-year-old freshman that still should be in college playing the point for you. You're missing the Boone brothers. You got to toss that Southern game out the window. The real bad loss was obviously Air Force game, but man, that lit a fire under UNLV after that Air Force game. You guys were a different team from that point going forward. What mentally changed? What did you guys talk about? Because it was amazing watching the Air Force game and thinking, oh my God, where are we going here? And then all of a sudden, this team just catches fire.
I think it's a credit to all the guys in general. They stuck with it. I think the fire that lit was everybody doubted us. Everybody had written us off. Nobody believed that we can go and win games. So I think just all of us just being a family, being brothers, we were all able to say, okay, F everybody. That doesn't matter. We should go out there, go play hard, go win. No matter what, we're gonna go out there, give it our all. We're gonna make shots. I think that's a big thing. We started making shots lately, and we found out who we were.
A guy like you, you've been around the game for a long time, played at Oklahoma, Power 5 conference school. Yep. You come here this year, you know, expecting to play. Obviously, you have the wrist injury after six games. You come back against San Diego State, and how disappointing. I can only imagine when you knew your ACL was going to keep you out the rest of the season, and you saw the ability, especially once both Boone brothers were in place. You know, they weren't sure Keelan comes in time for the Creighton game, and you saw you guys beat the 10th-rate Creighton team that is a team that can compete for a national title right now. That was gigantic. But seeing all the players and being around this game and being at a Power 5 conference, how impressive is Deedon Thomas Jr., to think that kid should be a senior getting ready to graduate high school this year, and he's not finished yet, but for the most part, getting towards the end of his freshman year in college.
I mean, I think it's really impressive. I played alongside a lot of great players, Austin Reeves, Brady Manning, Alondis Williams, two guys that are in the league right now. And I say he's right up there with them. He's a lot farther ahead than what they were. Austin redshirted a year before he played over with me. Alondis transferred to Wake Forest. So I think there were two breakout years where they're junior and senior years where you got a guy like DJ, where he's just coming out hooping, having fun. It's like he doesn't have a – he plays really smart. He doesn't have a conscience, though. Like, it doesn't matter who you put in front of him, but he's going to go out there, hoop, and have fun.
You know, and it's funny because – a lot of people, you know, there's leaders, vocal leaders in sports, on team sports especially, and then there's guys that lead by example. I would probably put DJ in the latter category, and at the beginning of the season, I'm watching the game, and I thought the guy that would be your vocal leader, emotional leader, and he's a hell of an athlete, would be Luis Rodriguez. But then when Keelan Boone arrives in the Creighton game, I'm like, oh my God, I was sitting right on the court, I could hear him. And it's like, this guy doesn't stop talking to you guys. He gets you fired up, and he will absolutely not let up on you. He expects the most out of everybody. And the cool thing is he also leads by example because you can see he expects the most out of himself. Is he the vocal leader of this UNLV team?
I mean, yeah. I mean, from day one during the summer, we all knew once he was able to play that Key was going to bring a fire, light us. And he's always been like that. He comes like that every day to practice, to games, to lift. He's always talking, even off the court, he's always talking. That's just who he is, and that's one thing I'm proud of him, because it's easy. It could have been easy for him to just say, "I don't care, we're not winning right now." But he stuck with it, and that's just a sign of a great leader. Just sticking with it, it doesn't matter when.
You know, and those two guys, they had an opportunity to play at Oklahoma State together. You probably saw them playing in the same conferences, the two of them. Mm-hmm. But really they mesh well together. And when you've played your whole life with your brother, you know where he's going to be. It's almost like a telepathy, especially twins. But Caleb right now out, we haven't seen him back yet. Where is he at right now with the ankle? And I really haven't heard much. It seems a little underwrapped. I was looking all this morning like for news. What's going on? Because I know how much you guys could use him. Because you add him to the mix, and unfortunately, you add you and him to the mix. This is a team that, no question, could win the NIT. I even think you guys might have the firepower to do it without him. I mean, it's a long road in front of you still. Yeah. But what's the word on Caleb?
Well, the road on him, he's been working every day. He practiced yesterday, trying to feel better. It was a high ankle sprain, so those are tough to get back from. Webb had it earlier in the season. Shane had it really early in the season, so it takes time. But I'll give credit to him. He's been working his tail off for the last week and a half, 2 weeks, just trying to get back and be there for us. And he's still coaching when he's not playing. He's still talking to the guys, giving guys tips and stuff. So that's where he's at right now.
Well, you know, those guys are without question leaders on and off the floor. The guy, in my opinion, other than Deedon Thomas Jr., who I watch grow every game, it's wild. It's like you're watching a baby grow up, but grow up like super fast. The other guy, and to me, in my opinion, maybe the most improved player in the Mountain West Conference, Rob Whaley, another junior, but Rob Whaley Jr., my goodness, he has become a space heater inside. I'm wondering how Coach Odom isn't bugging him to play tight end or defensive end for the football team. I sure in hell wouldn't want to go inside against this guy. I don't think a lot of people do either, but how much has he meant and his growth meant to this team and the run you guys are making right now?
I mean, to us, it's a really big growth. He's improved so much from the beginning of summer where he came in, where he felt like he wasn't like him, and he worked his tail off. He got in shape, and then we saw what he could be in practice. And then obviously when I got hurt, that's when he really stepped up. And he's that's one of my closest friends on the team. And Rob just he's able to just do what he does. He bullies people. He also has crazy bounce, which I don't know how he has it for being that big. It's to me it's impressive. He can pretty much jump from the free throw line being 260. And just having him inside just helps out DJ, just knowing you have a guy where you can just give it to and he's gonna go and get a bucket, same as Caleb and Keelan. So I think that helps out a lot.
No, he is a guy that can absolutely dominate the paint from a spectator standpoint. He's so much fun to watch, and again, he is a matchup problem for people that come in. Yeah. There's somebody that they're gonna have to worry about. And I think that adds so much to your guys' team. Jalen, how would you define, if you had to define this UNLV basketball team, say in a sentence, how would you do it?
I would define us by being tough, relentless, tough, and we're just having fun every day.
Other than the fact that you obviously grew up here in Las Vegas, what made you leave Oklahoma? What did Kevin Kruger do to get you to leave Oklahoma and come to UNLV?
He promised we that we were going to go win. And that's a big thing. I want to win. Being a senior, I wanted to make the tournament again. Obviously, that's not the tournament that we wanted to make. But for UNLV, this is a big step forward. Like you said, we haven't won a tournament game since Kev played. So it's been a while, and I think the city's getting behind us, and I think we're loving that.
Kevin Kruger, now that we brought him up, you know, at the beginning of the season, I'm one of them that said the guy was on the hot seat. I mean, I said at the beginning of the season, to me, he was going to have to make the NIT minimally and win a game in the NIT. I think he already had extended his shelf life at UNLV prior to this tournament, but now he has cemented it. What has he meant to you? What has he meant to this team? And who is Kevin Kruger?
I'll say this. From the beginning of the year, he's grown a whole lot as a coach and as a person. I mean, there was times where, like, okay, like, he wouldn't call certain things, and later on in the season, he's calling timeouts that he wouldn't have called earlier in the season to like, stop a run. So to see his growth as a coach is meant a lot, because sometimes we didn't know, and he's taken us under his wings, his arms, and just brought us all as one, and we're just having fun out there. So for him, for us, I mean, that's our leader. That's who we look to in times of struggle.
Well, I think he's growing up as a coach in front of us, too, because I've seen him grow exponentially. Yeah. I don't think he'll ice a player like he did Deedon Thomas in the game a couple games ago where he called a timeout. I still didn't figure that out, but he even laughed at himself for that. Final question for you. The sky for this team, what is the limit of this team? How confident are you today going up against a Boston College team that up until last night I didn't know a great deal about? But, hey, this team plays in the ACC, and that is one of the best conferences year in and year out in the country. What do you guys have to do to beat this team, and what's the limit for UNLV this season?
Well, what we have to do to beat them is we got to go out there, limit their post guy. His name's Quinton Post. Actually, he averages about 17 points a game. Great player, he can shoot, he spreads the floor, has a great mind, but got to limit their other guys. We can't let number one, he's their best shooter, shoots about 37% from three. We can't let their other guys just get going. We got to rebound. They're obviously physical. They've been playing better late in the year. But in terms of our team, I think we just got to play our basketball. And if we do that, we don't get sped up. We play how we play. We let Rob, DJ, Keelan play. Webb and Shane stepped up last game. Ice had a great game. But I think the sky's the limit. You can't. I think when we're feeling good about ourselves, when we have that confidence, nobody can stop us. So I think we can go and win the whole tournament.
Well, I know Vegas is excited. It's really cool to have UNLV at the MAC tonight, 6:30 tip-off time against Boston College. They're home. This is the second round of the NIT. They win this Elite Eight. They're one win away from the Final Four in Indianapolis. He is Jalen Hill, a fifth-year senior that is getting a redshirt. So, Jalen, we look forward to seeing you next year. But, man, I'm looking forward to seeing what this running Rebel team can do tonight, man. Thank you so much again for taking out time this morning.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Once again, Jalen Hill, look forward to him being next year. I know that the one bright spot is the fact that he will be able to come back next year and help this team as one of the senior leaders on this team. So that's going to be pretty cool. Listen, guys, as we wrap up, you know, got a lot of games going on today in the NCAA tournament. Going to be a lot of fun. Spencer, I want to bring you in to wrap up the show. I really quickly wanted to talk a little tiny bit NFL football. Any new news that you can share with us about the Raiders?
For the Raiders, it's all about the draft right now. They're gearing up for that. I just did a mock draft on my football show I do on Saturdays. So that's kind of the big focus. I know the draft is coming up, but it takes a long time to start scouting for it. Do the Raiders go, you know, quarterback at 13? Do they go corner? Do they go offensive line? There's so many possibilities, and I think it mostly depends on what's going to happen in front of them. You know, who's going to take the quarterbacks? Which one will be available for them at 13? Because Telescu doesn't have a large history with the Chargers of trading up. So it kind of seems like he's going to stay pat, which probably is the right decision. I guess it depends on the situation, but it's exciting. It, like, this is the most exciting time for Raiders fans in a really long time, just because of the possibilities.
Spencer, Minshew mania. I was not a fan of the move. I know you weren't either. I know that we both feel that Aiden O'Connell is not the guy to take this team going forward. I don't know that Gardner Minshew is. I don't know that you use a high draft pick to get a quarterback, because again, quarterbacks are hit or miss in this draft. I mean, I'm not even sold that Caleb Williams is a shoo-in to be a grade-A quarterback. I still think the Bears might have made a mistake in letting Justin Fields go. But, you know, what did you know, in your opinion right now, Spencer, and you follow this as much as anybody I know, can Gardner Minshew really lead this team anywhere? Is it better? Are we in better shape this year than they were last year when they were looking to Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yeah, see, this is a really interesting scenario, because Antonio Pierce said that they're not going to have any more Band-Aids. And while Gardner Minshew, I think, on the surface level does seem like one, they didn't commit that much money to him. He's just making high-end backup starter, you know, backup quarterback money, which is what he is. And I think the Raiders mean to say that the next time they take a quarterback, it's going to be their franchise quarterback. There's no doubt. I do not see the Raiders taking a quarterback late in this year's draft and just trying to plug it in. I think they're saying, hey, if it doesn't happen this year, we believe in Antonio Pierce. We're going to give him the year. You know, Gardner Minshew took the Colts to the playoffs next year. Our last year. That doesn't mean that he's going to be the quarterback for the next 10 years. It just means that he may have to be the quarterback this year before the Raiders can really find their guy instead of reaching.
Well, the good news is, I mean, if he is successful, we'll see a bunch of people walking around with Fu Manchu mustaches. So, and it will have Minshew Mania t-shirts made up. I don't see that happening, but you never know. Like you said, he surprisingly join the Colts and take them to the postseason last year when their starter went down, and he played well. I mean, he played well at times, but he's played well at times in his short career when he's had the opportunity to start. And then he shows up to be the person we think he is, and he'll throw an inadvertent interception and completely collapse. Again, I think he is a very admirable backup, a guy that can come in and win you a couple games here and there. But I think counted on as a 16-game, 17-game starter, I think is a mistake. And I think that something needs to be done. But then again, maybe Antonio Pierce will get something done. He'll push on the GM, and they'll make some moves. We'll see what happens. Spencer, I appreciate you setting up the show. I'm looking forward to it. What game are you looking forward to most today in the NCAA tournament?
Oh, today? I have to look down the slate, but I'm most excited in looking at Creighton, because that was my surprise pick to win March Madness.
Yeah,
so far, they're still alive. I mean, they made me sweat it out in that double overtime game, but, you know, they're still there, so that means technically they can still win.
They can. I wouldn't hold my breath on that one, but we'll see. I'm looking forward to the two Mountain West Conference teams today. I want to see what Utah State and San Diego State can do in the second round and see if they can move forward. And, of course, UNLV tip 6:30 tonight. Boston College at the MAC. Pack it. Be there. Get this team to the Elite Eight in the NIT. That would be beyond cool. Listen, I'm Brian Feldman. I want to thank Jalen Hill for joining the show. Also, also Jim Gemma. Always Chris Magnum, Chapman, and Spencer. Wouldn't know what to do without them. We're here every Sunday, same time, same place, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, 8 o'clock next Sunday. Who's going to be on? You'll have to stick around to find out. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.